As I had mentioned before we even began the Mass, this was a pericope, a chapter and verse of Francis of Assisi, who after his conversion experience, which is another story to be told another time, barely 22 years old, he wasn't sure as to what he was due with his life. Like a lot of us at that age, or any age for that matter, when it comes to career, job choices, etc. What shall I do with the rest of my life? What does God want of me? Especially after he heard the Lord speak to him about Francis, rebuild my church. And so he asked St. Clair and another early follower of his, he had 12, like Christ did, a brother Maceo, to pray for him. He would pray using the scriptures. Would they please pray for the scriptures? Spend some time and invest in trusting in God's direction to speak to him through the word and through corporate prayer. And so the story goes, Claire went into her convent, of course, Brother Maceo, into his convento, as they are called in Italy, and he prayed, Francis going into his own hermitage, what do you want me to do with you? As our Blessed Mother says in her apparitions, most especially at Medjugorje, she said it again, all you need to do is to what you're to do with your life is to look at the scriptures. It's all there. And of course, she suggests Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, for giving a corporate call as well as an individual sense, most especially in Acts of the Apostles as well as the epistles of St. Paul, Timothy, Titus, the pastoral epistles where their experience of discerning the will of God would automatically bring us back to what we call the New Testament. And they were given direction by the Holy Spirit, sometimes subtle, sometimes a whisper, sometimes very profound, how they were to live their life as holy and just, as the first reading talked about. That's what God wants us to be, holy and just. Holy means healthy. Just means to right wrongs. So to be healthy and to right wrongs is pretty much the script for us all. And to be faithful to our vows, our promises, and also to extend to others the gifts that we have, whatever they might be, even if it's just our time and listening. And so eventually, as I had said, this particular reading from Mark, also Matthew's version of the same, came to all of them over a period of time as they constantly prayed in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, speak to me about what you want Francis, or Francis's case, me, to do. And they would open up their scriptures at random after a while, a number of times, and it kept going there. And so, as you know, Francis would consequently not be a hermit or a contemplative, though he had moments of that, certainly, lots of prayer. But he would decide to go out and to, yes, repair the church by addressing wrongs and corruptions that were going on both in the church and among the kingships, civil society out there, and calling people to pay attention to what God is asking them to do, to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And all that that entails, and all the challenges of it, in spite of all of the temptations and pulls of the world on us, keep your eyes on the Eucharistic Christ. He had a great devotion to Christ in the Eucharist. And so I said, as the rest is history, or salvation history, because it comes down to us, to do the same, to be as faithful as Francis was. You know, it is said, I don't know if it's apocryphal, but supposedly was either Lenin or Stalin, I get them confused. One dictator looks just as good as or bad as the other. Said, if I had 10 men like this Francis of Assisi, I would conquer the world. That's the kind of zeal that he had. That's the kind of energy and grace and courage that he had. And so one of the things that caught my attention whenever I was praying over those readings, especially, well, all of them, this particular week was so rich, but even it was just the last line. The 12 drove out many demons and they anointed with oil who were sick and cured them. And of course, what would strike me, what jumped out for the first time, was the whole idea of oil as being something holy. Because what the Jews at the time, listening to Christ, they would have been aghast at the idea that the apostles were to go out and anoint with oil, because oil was only used to anoint men, never women, for special offices among the Jews. You were either anointed with oil to be a priest, a prophet, or a king. And so Christ comes along and he says to them, in instructing the apostles as they go out to anoint with oil and cure, well, he says in Matthew's gospel, cure the diseased and preach the good news. And so the whole concept of using holy oil, the paradigm shifted in that it's not just for a few, but it's for the many, it's for the all. As a matter of fact, that was the beginning of what comes down to us in the breaking from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that now that this precious oil, poor people couldn't afford it, was to be richly layered onto a priest, prophet, and a king, and now the everyday person, peasant, poor, everyday Joe or Joanne or whatever, is supposed to be anointed with oil for the praying of healing. And so it isn't just for the few, but it's for all of us that Christ comes. That was the beginning of what is called soteriology, that Christ came to save all. Soteriology, it's not just exclusive to the Jewish people. It comes out especially in Acts of the Apostles when Peter and Paul almost come to fisticuffs about, no, it's only the Jews that he came for. And there's a great section in Acts of the Apostles where St. Paul confronts St. Peter and says, and even Jesus does, in the image of this blanket that comes down and everything is on it, and take and eat. And he says, no, it's unclean. And this voice says to him that he recognizes Jesus, call nothing that God has created unclean. In other words, all of creation has been made holy. You know that by the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. All of the elements of the earth that is out there, including the dust and dirt from which we come, are made holy because Christ incarnated into the human condition. We are dust, and unto dust we shall return. But God has made that dust from the beginning in Genesis. He saw it, and he saw that it was good. And then, of course, there was the fall of our first parents, and it wasn't so good after that. Sin was introduced, anger, fury, rage, selfishness, all those kinds of things that we know we bring to the sacrament of confession, where we're restored to a new innocence. Well, that holy oil is now given to us beginning in baptism. In baptism, we're anointed first and foremost, ever before the water is there, holy water on the chest and also on the crown of the head. We're anointed with one kind of oil. There are three: oil of catechumens, oil of the infirm, oil of the chrism. But the chrism and the catechumens are done whenever we're baptized. You're anointed at the heart whenever you're baptized. It's called a minor exorcism. This is where the oil that has been blessed by the priest at the chrism mass, by the bishop at the cathedral, with as many priests from the diocese as are able to be there, showing the unity between the episcopos, the shepherd, the bishop, and the presbytos and the diakonos, the priests and the deacons, are in this allegiance under the Holy Father. And then there's the bishop and so on and so forth. It's this line of unity. So the chrism mass, the bishop, Bishop Olson, blesses these three kinds of oil. And then the parishes are there, and they come up and they get those three vials for them to be used for the whole year. And then they come back, and at the Holy Thursday Eucharist, the institution of the Eucharist celebration and the anniversary of priesthood, those three oils are presented to the person, the pastor, who is celebrating Mass, and they are to be used all throughout the church year. And so oil, olive oil, has been made holy, given special efficacy. Water, holy water, has been given special efficacy when it's blessed by the bishop, when it's blessed by the priest. Salt has been given special efficacy when it has been blessed for purposes of exorcism or the blessing of homes. Recently, I had a couple of people come to see me here who were experiencing all kinds of satanic signs that were put on the front of their door, at the front of their home, and certain signs that were demonic left on their neighborhood, yes, in this parish. And they didn't know who it was. They didn't care to know who it was. But when it happened the next day to come back and do it more, they didn't recognize who they were. So they came to me and what should we do? I said, well, you should have your house blessed. And one of the things I want you to do is go to the grocery store and pick up a sack of salt and come and bring it. I will bless holy water and I will bless the salt. And then what you do, because there's holy water, elements of the earth, holy salt, elements of the earth, holy water, elements of the earth, they have special efficacy to restore this justice and peace and this holiness that we're called to banish the evil one. Don't you remember in the gospel today, you're able to deliver from evil as you go out and you, and one of them is an anointing of the oil, and then the salt came in even from the Old Testament exorcisms and up into our own time until the Second Vatican Council, when for baptism, they left out the element of salt. I don't know why, but they did. But I said to them, according to the ritual, you want your house blessed and you're being oppressed or possessed in some rare cases. I don't know how rare it is today. But they came and I blessed this and I said, now you put this all outside of your house, either outside of your property, the lawn, etc. You put it outside of your house. It's blessed salt. And you also put some holy oil on your front door and you also bless it with holy water. And I said, do that. And that repels any kind of cursing that goes on. And there seems to be a lot more of it in our own day and age. These are dark and sometimes demonic times. And so they did. And then about a week later, whoever those people were, they came back and did it again. But this time they didn't leave anything. And for some reason, as they're watching through the window, they didn't stay long. And it hasn't been repeated. But you see, grace grows on nature. That just doesn't happen when we go to confession and receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. All the earth has been made holy. And these particular elements that we mention, again, are given special power, special efficacy, special holiness. Just as we bless crucifixes in our home, they repel the evil one. And when we look at them, the real reason we look at them and use them is we know that Christ has claimed us by his passion, death, resurrection, and sending of the Holy Spirit. And we claim him, and he claims us in the sacramental system, beginning with baptism, where holy oil is used. Used in confirmation, where holy oil is used. Used in the sacrament of ordination, where oil is used. And again, in the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, where we are blessed with holy oil. Special efficacy, special power in the supernatural world to repel that which is negative, or diseased. And so we use oil, and we should appreciate the olive oil because it was part of the culture of the Hebrew people from the beginning, as far as we know, with the call of Abram. They used holy oil when they baked bread. It was healthy. They used with water, they would put some oil in. It was healthy, kept regular. They used it as a beauty element because living in that kind of world, wrinkles were very easy working in the sun. They also perfumed it so that if you were invited to somebody who could afford to have you sit down at a table, you, the head of the household to greet the guest, would put some oil on the forehead, showing you were a special person in my eyes. It was an act of respect, actually an act of love, and an act of faith and mutual trust and fraternity, if you will, or claiming familialship, family, life kind of relationship. I think sometimes that many times we're just not aware of how the earth has been made holy by the person of Jesus Christ. That blood dripped down from the cross and it permeated not only the earth that was there, but as the fathers and the doctors of the church said, all of the earth was made holy in various phases and stages. But especially whenever that water and blood flowed from his side down the cross and onto the earth. The earth is holy, and so we should treat it with respect. There's a certain stewardship of taking care of it. And you know how that is so popular in this day for climate change or doing what we can do to make the world a better place in all kinds of instances. Well, that has a biblical base. So I would suggest to you, you know, I have some holy oil from Padre Pio's shrine in Pietrelcina, Italy. You can send for there, or his Bartow, Pennsylvania National Shrine in this country, you can send there for some oil from Padre Pio's shrine. In Italy, it's burned next to his, not burned, it's in a retaining of oil next to his body, his tomb. In the United States, it's burned next to the, why am I saying burning? Because it's in a container and you can later burn it if you want, but it's in a container that's been blessed, the oil and the container that is next to some relics that they have of Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania, as well as near the tabernacle. Here, when you have a adoration chapel, it is customary to have a container of oil, which we have enthroned on one of the side walls. It's always in the presence of the exposed Jesus Christ in adoration, the body, blood, soul, and divinity in that sacred place that was blessed by the bishop to have permission to have adoration there. You have to have a consecrated space. And we pour it into small vials. And as you know, since before COVID, we have made those available at our front office. You would get a little vial of it. And you would take it home like you would have holy water, or should, as a baptized Christian Catholic in your home, have some holy water to bless the place and to bless others. Remember, when I was a kid, we were blessed with holy water before we went to bed. I think my mother and father might have thought we had demoniacs sometime, but actually we were just a little active. But they bless us with holy water. And in some cases, especially in Italian households, it's the custom to bless them with holy oil. And so we make that available. You can get a small piece of it. It's on a roller kind of top. And what you do is you send it to someone who's ill or you are not feeling well. And I include in that depression, anxiety, fear, and anger, and doubt, and whatever else, sin, whatever is going on. You bless your body. Bless the back of your hands with the sign of the cross and on your forehead. Bless your heart. You can send it to people that are ill. They were quite the stocking stuffer, I must tell you, at Christmas time. And they come with a holy card, with the picture of the monstrance of Our Lady of the Eucharist, with a healing prayer that you would send with them. You should also, as I said, have vials of holy water in your home. Have vials of that holy oil, holy water, maybe some holy salt sometimes if you feel particularly oppressed. They are signs of holiness, blessing, and deliverance from evil. Again, because God has made all holy by the blood of the Lamb. He's always blessing us. And part of our exhortation is to bless others. Again, we can go out and heal the diseased as we preach or live the gospel. Finally, you know, something that I always say to people, like Padre Pio said, in this day and age, when I think the older we get, it seems to me, the more we find ourselves reflective about our past lives. Oh, we don't have to be old to do that. But we think about, and the devil's the sin whisperer, about you did that and you did this and yeah, you confessed it or you didn't confess it or you weren't contrite enough and all that kind of stuff to disturb our peace. Again, he's the sin whisperer. One of the things that St. Padre Pio used to say is in your imagination, and I've said this to many in confession, whenever we haven't been forgiven by someone that I hurt somehow, or I have a rough time forgiving someone else for whatever, you picture in your imagination that person. And Padre Pio says to a penitent, what does the priest do at the end of Mass? And the penitent would usually say, well, he lifts up his right hand with an open palm, and the priest says, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Padre Pio would say, you know, in baptism, you are anointed with holy oil on the crown of your head to be priest, prophet, and king. In the Old Testament, it was only men that were anointed for that office. But in the new dispensation, male and female. A prophet means to speak the mind of God. As we say here before, that means to speak against injustice, to right wrongs, and have the courage to do it, and the willingness to accept the consequences of it. That's our prophetic voice. The priestly one is that I can wish people well. I can bless. It doesn't have the same efficacy of the ordained, where we bless, a especially when we bring in transubstantiation. But it does have a special power because it's coming from a place of affirmation and loving kindness. Because the opposite of that is in my heart and my rancor many times, I can bless and curse and even wish evil on someone or something bad would happen to someone. Yes, in our anger, any of us are capable of that. We become defensive, we want revenge, it's human nature. No wonder you had to come to save us from our sins. So he says, you can picture the person or the people that you're upset with. They might even be deceased many, many decades, but you're still carrying something around. And you lift up your right hand and you say in your imagination, I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Padre Pio says that it so pleases God the Father that the blessing goes out to that person, but it comes back to you twofold because God the Father is pleased that you're calling on the merits of his Son. You're validating all of that pain and agony and terrible slow death. You're validating it because he came to save us from our sins and do reparation for our sins. And from that comes the resurrection and Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. You have no idea how powerful you are in the eyes of heaven, in the eyes of my Almighty God, because you have been baptized. Not only that, but particularly because you are faithful in practicing your faith, building on baptismal grace with confession and the Eucharist, receiving the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, your confirmation. That's grace building upon nature. You have special efficacy with God to bless the world. Any of us can curse. Any of us can criticize. St. John of the Cross says a critical spirit keeps intimacy at bay, and there's too much mean-spiritedness in our world. It seems especially now, maybe because it's more in our face, because of modern technology, and we feel overwhelmed. Well, remember who you are, because your royalty, whenever you're anointed a king, that means that you are a member of the royal household of Christ the King. The last Sunday of the church year before we begin Advent is Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate the fact that in the book of Revelation, the saved, the elect, are wearing a white garment with a palm branch in their hand. Christ the King is leading the elect, the saved, into the Father's house. You are among those who are among the candidacy as you fight sin and temptation and wrap yourself around God's mercy, which is fathomless. It has no end. And you wrap yourself around his mercy with those words, help me. And you continue to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you keep on going faithfully with the help of God's grace. Don't ever let the devil tempt you to make you think that because of this or that you are beyond redemption. He's a liar, and he knows that you're called to be a speaker and a doer of the truth. The devil hates that because you emulate the divinity of Christ in our human nature that has fallen, but it's in the process of conversion all the days of our life. I suggest to you whenever you go to bed at night, maybe even picture the whole world, the globe, floating in front of you with everything and everyone that's on it. Put your hand on your heart, raise your right hand with the open palm, and you say from your heart, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the blessing that you send out comes back to you twofold. You see, that's how he makes us holy and just.